I'd like if you take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. And this is one of two church ordinances that we observe as a church. One is baptism. Two is the Lord's Supper. Both of these can be easily misunderstood, but they are extremely important. Both of these ordinances are pictures, and they represent and they remind us of the Lord and what He's done for us. I'll take just a moment and briefly describe baptism. I don't mind to continue to repeat this because it's so helpful to me, and I want to remember it because the Lord says, teaches that everybody that gets saved should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And baptism is a picture. When we stand in the water crosses our body. It represents the cross that Jesus died on. When we go under the water, we identify with Christ's death and His burial. When we come out of the water, we identify with Christ's resurrection. And baptism is an outward profession of an inward faith. We let folks know that, hey, I identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm saved. And baptism is so important. And we come to the Lord's table tonight. As we come to observe the Lord's Supper, it is also a picture and a reminder that we are to remember what Jesus has done for us. I remember learning to read, and I'm thankful that my mom had me in church. And one of the things that I learned to read on was the table that sat in the front of the church. I remember for a long time I had to say, this do in, then the last word me. It took me a while to be able to sound out that big, long word, remembrance. I remember that, and I remember also driving down the road one time, and I said, Mom, what's a Chevrolet? And she says, that's a Chevrolet. I saw it on a tailgate. But I learned to read, and remembering this do in remembrance of me. And we've got a beautiful passage of Scripture here I want you to see with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The context of this passage of Scripture, the church in Corinth was notoriously carnal, and God used the Apostle Paul to help them, and the institution of the Lord's Supper that began with Christ in the upper room is brought here to our attention so that we'll remember our Savior. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we'll begin our reading tonight in verse number 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till we come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." What the Bible says in verse number 24, He says, "When He had given thanks," speaking of Christ, "He brake it, the bread, and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Verse number 25, the Bible says, "After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me." Now there's an emphasis here on remembering what the Lord has done. in a Bible preaching church like this, we may find it hard to believe that you could get to a place where church people meet on a consistent basis and Jesus and his true purpose for coming to earth is forgotten. And even folks that observe the Lord's Supper, it's easy and it can become easy to forget the real meaning and the real purpose of the church. Why do we have church? I love to come to church. I always have. I'm thankful for church. I'm thankful for the fellowship. I'm thankful for the people through the years that have invested in my life. I'm thankful for the opportunities that God has afforded me through the years being a part of the Chilhowee Baptist Church and other churches. I love church. But we must never forget the main reason that we have a church. The main reason we have a church is because Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sinless Son of God, came to earth to pay the price for our sins. He paid the price for our sins when His body was broken and His blood was shed. He died on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again victoriously so that all of us who would put our faith and trust in Him can have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. We must never forget that. And we must be reminded of that. And as we come to the Lord's table tonight, we are looking and remembering what God has done for us. I don't know about you, but seeing certain things remind me and prompt my thinking. And tonight we're going to take a few different looks. First of all, we're going to look back. When we come to the Lord's table, we should look back. We should look back into the past. Look what the Scripture says in verse 23. For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Tonight as we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be looking back. What are we looking back to? We're looking back to Calvary. We're looking back to Calvary. We got to look back and be reminded in history how the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The first thing we come to is the truth that Jesus' body was broken for us. No man broke it. No one took His life. He gave it for us. And we need to be reminded that we have a glorious Savior. Jesus Christ took on all of our sins and His body was broken for us. As we look back in the back, and we look back in the past, we're looking back, seeing and remembering that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. We look back and see that His body was broken. The Bible says, as we look in this upper room, He says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. When we think about the body of our Savior, it was not something that is pleasant to the eyes or to the heart to think of, and it was not pleasant to our Savior. The Lord Jesus, in love for us, allowed His body to be broken. You can see Him as they scourged Him with the cat of nine tails. His back laid open. Why? For me. We sang as teenagers this song, it was for me He died. It was for me. It was for me. It was for you. His body. Look at His body. The nails were driven in His hands and feet. He hung on the cross between heaven and hell. Why? The old song goes, He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have. But in love, our Savior paid the ultimate price. He gave His life. His body was broken so that we could have redemption. Remember, look back. Will you look back with me? Will you look back with me? His body was broken. As we take the bread, we're reminded of the broken body of our Savior. As we take the bread, we're reminded that it wasn't something, some cosmic circumstance, but it was a real man. It was a real man that gave His real life. And He didn't have to, but He did it because He wanted to, and He loved us. May we be reminded as we look back at His body, this do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Since the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, They tried to cover their own sins, but it wasn't sufficient. God set the precedent. An innocent animal had to have its life taken and its blood shed in order to cover our sins. It was instituted in the Old Testament law that there was a sacrifice. God in His Word said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Sins can't be covered without the shedding of blood. All through the Bible, the Old Testament, the Scriptures are pointing to the coming of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. It was Jesus Christ who shed His blood. There's an old song. I don't always refer to a bunch of songs, but there's an old song, and I take offense at one of the phrases in the song. It says His blood was spilt. It makes it sound like it's an accident. It was no accident. His blood was freely shed and given. It was the plan of redemption. He came and fulfilled the will of God in love. He gave Himself and shed His blood. As we take the cup, I want you to know that that cup does not turn into any type of blood. That bread does not turn into any type of flesh. But it is to remind us once again and afresh and anew that His body was broken, that His blood was shed. As we take the Lord's Supper, we're to look back and be reminded that as Jesus paid the price for my sins, Jesus bore it all on the cross. In great love, God sent His Son. So we take it, we look back. In our looking, we should make some other looks. We look back in the past and we think, thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. We should look back, then we should look ahead. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 26. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What's the last phrase? Till He come. We look behind knowing that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins when His body was broken and His blood was shed. We look ahead, reminding us today that Jesus is coming again. John 14, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither ye go, whether I go, ye know, the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we take the Lord's Supper, what are we to be reminded of? We're to look in the past, look behind, and remember that Jesus paid the price for our sins. We're to look ahead and remember that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Oh, may He find us faithful. May He find us serving. May He find us when He comes, looking for His appearing. Jesus is coming again. As we take the Lord's Supper, we should look back. We should look ahead. We should look within. Look what the Bible says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, this is a sobering moment here as we come to the Lord's table. This is very, very important. You do not take the Lord's Supper in an opportunity, as an opportunity to have your sins forgiven. There are folks who believe you take the bread, and when you take and receive, they say, we receive the bread, we receive Christ, we receive the Jews, we receive the wine, we receive the blood. They believe we're receiving Christ for the remission of sins. That's not at all what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Supper. The Bible says as you come to take the Lord's Supper, You should come worthily. You say, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. And I say, I am too. But let me tell you one of the greatest truths. As dirty, rotten as we are, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. He is faithful to forgive our sins. And what we must do before we take the Lord's Supper, in your seats right now, ask God to search your heart and see if there's any sin in it. And confess it to Him. And come to the Lord's table clean. Forgiven. The Apostle Paul said, hey, when you come to the Lord's table, this is not some time for you to have a party. This is not your monthly potluck supper. This is an opportunity for you to come together in honor of the Lord. You're looking in the past at Christ's work. You're looking ahead at Christ's return. You're looking within, asking God to forgive your sins. You know, God's people should take every opportunity to confess their sins, to get right with God. You see, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper living in habitual sin. You shouldn't take the Lord's Supper knowing that there's sin in your life that you're unwilling to confess to the Lord. You shouldn't take the Lord's Supper if your heart's cold towards God. I don't want to discourage you from taking the Lord's Supper. I think you should. I think you should tonight. But before we take the Lord's Supper, we should pray the prayer of David, search me, O God. And when God brings something to our minds and our hearts that is sin, we should at that moment say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Forgive me. The greatest news that you ever get is when we confess it, He forgives it. And you have the opportunity to worthily come and receive the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, if you take it unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Oh, to sin against the Lord this way. The Bible says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I want to ask you tonight, look inside. Examine yourself. The Bible says in verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's serious, is it not? It's serious. Coming to the Lord's table is a serious matter, but it's a wonderful opportunity to keep our sins accounts short and to get our hearts in tune with the Lord. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The Apostle Paul's addressing the Corinthian church. He said, part of the problem with the situation here in the church is that you're coming to the Lord's table in the wrong way. You're coming to the Lord's table unworthily. You've made some type of party out of the Lord's table. And I don't believe in any form or fashion that Joy Baptist Church is guilty of that. May the Lord help us to come soberly to the Lord's Supper, looking in. Scripture says in verse number 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Here's our opportunity. Lord, what is it in my heart? What sin is there? And we take this moment, and we take this time, and we confess it to the Lord. Verse 32, the Bible says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We have this opportunity. What are we doing? We're looking behind. We're looking ahead. We're looking within. We're looking within. And finally, we should look around. Have you ever wondered why we serve the Lord's Supper? It's important. It's biblical. Well, the Scripture says in verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. It's funny, but the church, the Corinthian church, in their carnality, had the notorious cliques. It makes me cringe when people talk about cliques and churches. I'm a pastor and I can't stand the thoughts of it. There are certain poor folks that couldn't celebrate the Lord's Supper like the rich folks, and they couldn't have the same kind of party, but the people who were having the parties, they weren't really honoring the Lord's Supper anyway. But there was a big problem because there was a lot of confusion. The Apostle Paul, in the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said, "Whoa!" He said, the church should observe the Lord's Supper together. And when the church observes the Lord's Supper, tarry one for another. It's a beautiful picture and a beautiful opportunity that God gives us. So we come as a church around the Lord's Supper. What do? We come together looking behind, knowing that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, knowing that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we've been saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. We are a body fitly joined together. We're a group of baptized believers who are working to fulfill the Great Commission. We're looking ahead, telling people about Jesus, about the Savior, asking folks to be saved, presenting the gospel message, knowing that Jesus is coming again. We're coming together as a group, knowing that we're imperfect and unworthy, but made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And we have this opportunity, rich, poor, old, young, all of us, saved by the grace of God, on our way to heaven, not because we've worked our way, but because Jesus has saved our souls. And we will serve one another. We serve one another. We tarry one for another, care about one another. And our body is strengthened. Our body is strengthened as we worship and serve the Lord. As we take the Lord's Supper here in just a moment, I want to encourage you to do just that. Look behind. How many of you here today are saved by grace through faith? Would you say amen? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Oh, it's so wonderful to be saved. God changed my life when I was just a child. I'm saved by grace. You must be saved. You must have a testimony of faith in Christ to take the Lord's Supper. I'm saved. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm looking for Jesus to come again. Amen. Are you prepared? Are you serving? At this moment, when we take the Lord's Supper, we should check our hearts and say, am I doing with my life what I want God to find me doing when He comes back? We should look within. What is it, that sin? What is it, that sin that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of? You know what's glorious? You have the opportunity right now to take care of it right there in your seat, in your heart, between you and God. And now we're going to serve one another. And we're going to be reminded once again. We're going to remember that what we do as a church and the lives we live is all because of Jesus Christ, the price He paid on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray as the men come.